Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Just to encourage you to bring mothers, okay, next Sunday, okay, we'll try to, I'll share a message, but we'll try to give opportunity for them to accept Christ as a personal Savior, okay? So Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Proverbs 2, 1 to 12. Are you alive? Okay, it is wonderful to be in the house of God. Okay, it's really wonderful to be in the house of God. Proverbs 2, 1 to 12. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For our Lord give wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He laid up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the path of judgment and preserves the ways of his saints. Then you shall understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yes, every good path. When wisdom enter into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. Father, anoint this message right now. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to title my message this morning, The Abundance of the Heart. The Abundance of the Heart. Billy Graham is one of the greatest evangelists that live on the 20th century. I think he is tremendous. I remember that he came to Singapore in 1978 and spoke at the Singapore Stadium, which can seat 60,000 people. I also remember my Buddhist friend and I, we are buddies. We went there to the National Stadium intentionally to scorn at his preaching, to just make fun of his preaching. But I came away from that stadium with the seed of God planted in my heart. And the seed wouldn't go away until I got saved 1 year later in 1979. I also remember there was one time in 1986, there was a tremendous attack. I was here in 1986. And I noticed that I can remember the Dawn Baptist Church, the Fundamental Baptist, and a lot of evangelical churches, they were attacking Billy Graham simply because he went at the invitation of the Orthodox Church in Russia and he went to communist Russia. So they were so angry with him. But he went anyway and he kept his testimony and his integrity was not attacked at all. He maintained it. Okay? We can remember Jesus. Jesus himself would sat with the Sadducees, the publicans and the sinners. He will sit with the publicans and the sinners. And the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the self-righteous people will also attack Jesus. He went anyway. He sat with the publicans anyway. He visited the sinners. He touched the immoral Mary Magdalene even. And Jesus came away not affected concerning his integrity, concerning his faith in God. He came away with his testimony not affected. Billy Graham was responsible for my salvation and definitely one of the heroes of my faith. He spoke to more people. In fact, they say that there's only one person, the person who spoke to most people in the whole world concerning Christianity. It is Billy Graham. Anyway, the thing I want to talk about Billy Graham today, this morning, is that it is said that before he goes to the pulpit, before he comes up to the pulpit and speak, he will prepare 5 messages. And he said he liked to fill his heart to the brim. He will prepare 5 materials for talks so that he could speak out of the overflow of his heart. He could speak out of the abundance of his heart. He could speak out of the fullness of his heart. I ask you this morning, what is in the abundance of your heart right now? What is in the abundance of your heart right now? According to Jesus, what is in the heart really matters. Because Matthew 12:34 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the overwhelming feelings that is in your heart, it comes forth in your speech. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Why? For out of the abundance of a heart, his mouth speaketh. You know, he said that through the eyes, the eye gate brought things into your heart. Brought things into you. But out of the heart comes forth the evil things. What is in the heart is spoken of as treasure. What is the thing that you intensely treasure right now in your heart? Things that is of value, you value it intensely. In Matthew 15:11, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. A man is not defiled by what enters his mouth. What enters his mouth? I didn't talk about the eyes. Through the eyes, it goes in and comes out of the mouth. But a man is not defiled by what enters his mouth, but by what comes out of it. What comes out of the mouth? People that talk evil, imagine evil. Evil from the morning, evil until the night. It will bring forth things that are evil. And it breaks God's heart. We need to watch not just our action, but also our thoughts and our imagination. In fact, many of our action is the result of our thoughts and action. Am I correct? Many of our imagination is the result of our thoughts. Many of our actions are the result of our thoughts and imagination. Recently, I was doing my devotion. I was convicted, especially the word thought, concerning my thought life. My thought life. What I've been thinking in this season of life? What is your thought life right now? In this season of your life? What have you been thinking all this while? Are you thinking? You know, some people say that, if I only win the STL, if only I become a millionaire, I will do this and do that. And all the while you're thinking, if only I become a millionaire, I will buy a house for my parents. Wow, so holy. I will buy houses for my sibling. Wow, so nice. And I'll go for a holiday. Then you try to be spiritual. You try to bring forth the importance that you must really be a millionaire. I will give 10% of my tithes to the church. Then you start to think, I will fulfill certain pleasures of my life. Is your thought constantly filled with, if only I have this much money? Or is your thought filled with having sexual relationship with someone that is not your spouse? Or is your thought filled with seeing the downfall of your enemies? You are constantly filled with bitterness concerning someone who has hurt you deeply. It's every day from the morning to the night, you are filled with anger, bitterness against someone who has hurt you deeply. Or even sometimes, is your thought life filled with having someone as your girlfriend or as your wife, even though you really have a girlfriend, you really have a wife? Or is your thought life filled with, oh, I only wish that my wife is dead. So when my wife is dead, I'm free. I believe this is one of the greatest problems of mankind today. And God saw it in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is the problem of the world today. The scripture emphasized the development, how the evil comes out. The scripture emphasized the development of the evil in the heart of mankind as the result of the thought life. I call this evil thoughts, evil intent. And as a result of that, sin became widespread in the human population. Sin has become so widespread in the human population. So what is in the abundance of your heart right now? Let's talk about those people that is in the world. Let's talk about you right now. What are you constantly thinking about every day in your life? Every moment in your life right now? What are you thinking about? What occupies your heart all these whiles? We have to take care of what is in our heart. So how do you store up good things in your heart? So the abundance of heart is very important. So you must take care of the heart. So how do I store up good things in my heart? Number one, store up God's words in your heart. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1 and 2 say, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." Last Sunday, Pastor Lily shared about God's promise to Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham when Abraham was 75 years old. That was and God continued the promise to Abraham throughout Abraham's life. The same promise was repeated when Abraham was at the age of 99. And God promised him a son, and at the age of 100, Abraham had a son. But the last time the promise was given when Abraham was 99, it comes with a condition. It comes with a condition. And the condition is, walk with me and be blameless. I was reminded of God's promise to me many years ago. And last Sunday, God reminded me of His promise and also with a condition. I am to walk with God and be blameless. To be blameless is to stop sinning. To be blameless is not to have an evil thought life. How? Not to have an evil thought life. You want to be blameless. How to be blameless? Store up God's word in your heart. You know, recently I finished my reading the Bible, finishing in one whole year. And I'm a little bit tired, like Pastor Lily, of going through the Bible in the old-fashioned way from Genesis to Revelation. I'm not saying that God did not speak to me in that manner. God spoke to me many times. Rather, I like to try something different. So I asked Pastor Lily, how to have a different method of reading the Bible? And she came up with a Bible plan. I like it. The point is, I encourage you to make a lifelong daily habit of reading God's Word. I dare to say that the Word of God has kept me from sins for thousands of times in my life. The Word of God has brought me back to God many times. The Word of God has softened my heart many times. The Word of God has brought tears to my life many times. The Word of God has brought me and reestablished my relationship with God many times. Solomon urges in Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1, "Store up my commandment within you, within your thought life, turning your ears to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. For wisdom will enter your heart." When you read God's word, you are storing up good thought life. You are storing up the word of God in your heart. So what do you need to do? Firstly, verse 1 say, you need to store up God's word within you. Verse 2 say, you need to listen and apply. Okay? When I listen, walk with me and be blameless. I have to apply. So this whole week, when I'm tempted by sin, I have to say, God, the blood of Jesus Christ. I have to apply. Listen and apply. Verse 3 said, you need to call up. You need to call up the whole God. You need to wrestle with God, which I will explain to you later. You need to call up. Verse 4 says, you need to search. You know, searching the Bible is like a prospector panning for gold. Someone that is searching for gold, they will take this pan, the sands with the gold, and they will go to the river, and they will shake and shake and shake, and they will separate the sand from the gold, and they will pick up the nuggets of gold. That is searching the Word of God. Searching the Word of God. It is like an adventurer on a treasure hunt. You know, I was reading about this guy from YouTube. I was surprised that he found this golden Buddha. Am I correct? He found a lot of gold in one of the mountains in the Philippines. He found it, and he went. One day he was walking and he found it. But I heard that somebody came and took away all his gold. So how did he get it? He knows the way to go to the treasure hunt. He knows the way. So they have to beat him up to ask him to tell them where to find that gold. Searching for the Bible is like an adventurer on a treasure hunt. It takes time and commitment. Don't just prioritize your schedule. Schedule your priorities. Set aside a regular time to read the Bible. and scheduled it as the top priorities. Joel's nephew came recently to Ilolo, and we found out that he just got born again. And he was really on fire with God. He is a third-year law student, and he just started his Christian walk. Before he left for the airport, they brought him to see Pastor Lily and I. And we told him that Charles Sweeney was also a lawyer and a Christian. Of course, we envisioned he would be able to reach out to people that we couldn't reach out to. But Pastor Lee told him to read the Bible with a Bible plan daily. He just started his Christian life, and he needs to prioritize his schedule, starting with daily Bible reading. She asked him, do you have an iPhone? If you have an iPhone, you will read the Bible from the iPhone. And from there, you can cut and paste and put it into your note. And if you do it regularly, certainly one day he will make an impact in the city that he's in. He's only in his 20s. Just imagine how powerful his life would be if he prioritized storing up God's word in his heart. And I'll speak to you young people. This is one of the things that I was on fire for God, but I was not taught. I come from church that, just the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is enough. Powerful is enough. I was not taught to properly study the word of God. It's only after I become a Christian that I learned to study the Bible properly. So you are young. You are young people. You need to study, make a daily plan. Just imagine how powerful your life would be. You're only in your 20s if you prioritize storing up God's word in your heart. Let me remind you that the book of Proverbs is not a haphazard book. If you study properly, the book of Proverbs is actually for young people, young men. It tells a story. The book of Proverbs tells a story, and it is a connected story. Proverbs 3, say again, my son, young men. It is a challenge given to young men that he be a wise young man. There are great many people. They say a person need to be very intelligent and have high IQ in order to understand the word of God. No, that is not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God does not say that it is essential. However, in Proverbs 2, where the young man starts out, it will be made clear that if he is to know the will of God and the word of God, he has to study. He cannot just dilly-dally. Now walking the field. Oh, there's some daisy. I pick up this daisy. Oh, there's another daisy. I pick up this daisy. Just dilly-dally. Going through the Bible, dilly-dally. Pick up this, pick up that. No. He must apply heart to wisdom. He must study the word of God. I repeat. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 2 say, if you cry after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We are living in the last days. We are living in the last days. The Bible says, even the elect will be deceived. I want to tell you, there are so many people, they are deceived in so many things already. Even the elect, even the truly genuine Christian will be deceived. How do you not to be deceived? God teaches. The word of God. From the word of God, you tell the truth from the lies. Now I'm shocked by a statement made by Vernon McGee. He said, I don't really believe in devotional reading because I know individuals and families who have been doing that kind of reading for years and they are as ignorant of the Bible as a goat grazing on the hillside. You cannot learn the word of God by just, I'm reading the word of God right now, getting into a pious frame of mind and reading a few verses every day. Well, now it's devotion. I must sit properly. I must be pious. I open a book. No, you don't. You don't. The way is to get it, to lay it up, to incline your ear, to apply your heart, to cry after it, to lift up your voice, to seek for it as silver, as to seek for it as if it was a hidden treasure. You know, some of the best times of my life are really searching the scripture, searching, going through commentaries, going through the word of God, flipping Bible here and there, spending time not involved with any other thing, but just searching. Those are the moments that I really find the word of God so alive. You can feel the life inside you when you are reading the Word of God. You know, one of the best preachers I ever heard that really knows the Word of God is Jens Pastor in France. He was able to take out the Word and explain it so, enlightening. I say, how did he get that kind of understanding? Then just say, oh, he understands Latin. Oh, he understands. But he was able to expound the Word of God so well. Those people that can do that, it's not overnight. They really spend time understanding that scripture, that passage of scripture. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. You will not fall in the last day. This is the last day. I just want to tell you. It's the last day. And how are you going to keep your faith intact? Know the Word of God. You will understand what is the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know, Vernon McGee used to teach in the Bible Institute in California. And he has at least a few hundred students at one time. He was always very, very amused to hear his very pious student on the morning before the exam say, Dr. McGee, we are not prepared for the exam today. We have a prayer meeting last night. Vernon McGee say, what did you pray about? Oh, we pray about China. We pray about Africa. We pray about some distant island in the countries that really need our prayer. Vernon McGee will answer, you know, the most important thing in the world for you last night was not to pray. They were amazed at him. Why not to pray? He said, it was a time to study. Then he will show them Proverbs chapter 2. Where we are learning today. Last night was a time for you to do digging. Searching it out. There's nothing here, but there's nothing talk about a prayer meeting. It's Proverbs chapter 2. He is correct. And he always makes sure they take the exam. He never exempt anybody as a result of their prayer meeting. Secondly, what did God promise you if you do this? Then you will find the knowledge of the Lord. Then you will find the knowledge of the Lord. You know, some people, they are very, very good in counseling. Why? Because they know God's word very well. This knowledge is actually wisdom. If you really know God's word, you have wisdom. God gives up the wisdom freely. Because of God's character, He gives wisdom, understanding, victory. He gives you victory. He gives you protection. He gives you discretion. You know, some Christians just don't have discretion at all. They can't tell good people from the bad people. Why? It's not that they don't read the Bible, but they don't search the Bible. He promised that God will keep His eye on you. And God will protect you. And God will guard you. God not only gives wisdom in His word, He actually works to defend you, to guard you, to preserve you who walk in His way. You know what I'm saying? No? If you really know God's word, God will protect you. God will give you discretion. That's why you don't have to be afraid in the last day. But the problem is many of us, we don't know the word of God at all. Adam Clark said this, he who is taught of God understand the whole law of justice, mercy, righteousness, and truth. God has written this on his heart. On the other hand, he who understand these things by books only, is never likely to practice and profit by them. Some of your knowledge of God, is it as a result of books? Is it as a result of some YouTube pastor preaching? No, I ask you. You don't get wiser as a result of always listening to some powerful preacher. No. The best is still receiving first-hand revelation from God yourself. When you read the Word of God, those first-hand revelation are more powerful than any preachers in the world. When you hear this, you encourage and say, God, help me to continue to spend time with you each day and to apply the teaching of the Bible in my life. Number two, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 12 verse 8 to 21 says, behold my servant whom I have chosen, My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he bring forth judgment unto victory, and his name shall the Gentiles trust. You store up the Spirit of God in your heart. You store up in the abundance of your heart. In the abundance of your heart is the Spirit of God. I know this verse applies to Jesus, as a reference to Jesus, but this is also meant for you. Jesus said, greater things shall you do when you have faith in him. The words you speak really matters. Joyce Meyer said, every word we speak can either be a brick to build or a bulldozer to destroy. Whatever that is stored in your heart will sooner or later be expressed by the mouth. Be careful what you look at, read and think about. Fill your heart with good things and you will think good thoughts. Speak good words and bear good fruits. Jesus says so clearly, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Good people bring forth good things out of the good stored up in them. Evil people bring forth evil out of the evil stored up in them. You cannot change your thought pattern. I tell you frankly, it's very hard to change your thought pattern, your thought pattern on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit, filling your heart with His love and the good fruits of the Holy Spirit. You need to go on continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus has shown what it is to be filled with the Spirit. We've seen plenty of miraculous signs. Plenty of miraculous signs. And they are the result of Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why did Charles Smith Wigglesworth say that you have to be 1,000 times stronger on the inside? Because he's full of the Spirit of God. In the abundance of his heart, he's full of his... He cannot read the newspaper because he doesn't know how to read. His wife has to teach him to read. So his wife taught him the four gospel. And he only know the four gospel. But the four gospel, he will, with the four gospel, he fill himself and he will be filled the Holy Spirit and he will be on the train and he will speak to someone and he will just cast out the devil from the someone. And he will walk on the street and he will cast out some devil from the street and those people will get saved. You need to fill yourself with the Spirit of God. You know, some of you, you got saved. Your house is clean. God cleansed you. And the devil came back. And you did not feel that empty heart with the Word of God, with the Spirit. It was empty. And the devil came in and destroyed you. And make you more excessively, more evil. Your final condition worse than the first. It is the Holy Spirit that get rid of the demonic power in us. Fight a daily battle to resist evil. Evil and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The test of whether your heart is good is what comes out of your mouth. It is out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. Jesus said, you have minds like a snake pit. It's our mind like a snake pit. How do you suppose that what you say is worth anything? If your mouth is always foul mouth, foul minded, it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your word. I say again, it's not the dictionary, it's your heart that gives meaning to your word. The way to make sure you say the right thing is to make sure your heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to fill your heart constantly with good things and to guard it from evil. No, we thank God we are a Pentecostal church. We speak in tongues. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We believe a person is truly baptized with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. But I always admire the Baptist church even until today. Because they are so grounded in the Word of God. But they lack the infilling of the Holy Spirit. For us Pentecostal, we boasted of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we know nothing about the Bible. We are so weak when it comes to the knowledge of the Word of God. We are so shallow when it comes to understanding the Word of God. I always say that if a church has these two qualities, storing up the Word of God in the heart and go on being filled with the Holy Spirit, just imagine how powerful the church and the Christian in the church will be. So brothers and sisters, go on to being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's for you today. It's actually for you today. Jesus prophesies about it. Jesus talked about our day. And Jesus said, now is the time. It's your day. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, where? John chapter 7, verse 37, 38. In the last day, a reference to our day, that great day of the feast. What feast? The Lord's Supper is coming. The rapture is coming. There will be a great feast. What did Jesus say? Jesus stood up and cried. He didn't say, oh, please be filled. He shout with a loud voice and say, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of the abundance of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's yours for the taking. Jesus has promised it to you. You just need to believe it and ask God for it. Number three, wrestle with God in prayer. Let's be very honest. You may know the Word of God very well. You may be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you will still have suffering. If you tell me right now, I mean, like just Pastor Lily was talking about, some of you, you are suffering because you have no food to eat. If you tell me right now that you're experiencing suffering right now, nicely I say to you, meekly I say to you, welcome to the real world. Welcome to the real world. Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. Welcome. We are all part of the human race. In this world, we shall have tribulation. So this part, you must accept it. Jesus said that, You have to understand, you have to be wise and understand that there will be troubles, there will be tribulation, there will be suffering, there will be long suffering. No, I always admired Charles Spurgeon. I admire him a lot. He's known as the Prince of Preacher. He's not just a preacher, he's the Prince of Preacher. Do you know that his church in London, he preached in London. His church is the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. It is said that the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London can sit 6,000 people. And they say that every time in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, it's always standing only. It's so packed. The church is so packed. He preached every Sunday. So packed. He has produced powerful sermon. Those that study homiletics, the principle of preaching, they will use his example because he's so good. They will use how he move his hand, how you speak, how you raise his voice, how you lower his voice. He said that he produced powerful sermons of penetrating thoughts and precise exposition. His oratorical skill, he said, to held the listeners spellbound in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And many held his writing. I have his book, this thick, Charles Spurgeon book, in exceptional high regard. That was all the thing that I heard about Charles Spurgeon all these years. Then one day, I thought he has no problem. This is a man that has no problem. He must be very powerful, very good. Then one day I heard that he smoked. He smoked. The last time I heard that he smoked was maybe 5, 6 or 7 years ago. Then Pastor Lily sent me an article that shocked me. It was said that at the age of 22, when Charles Spurgeon was just 22 years old, he was married and he has twin children, twins. He has twin babies. And he was speaking to this large place at the Surrey Garden Music Hall. The whole place was packed. But some prankster, you know, just imagine, some people are so evil. You know, YouTube, you cannot believe everything they say in the YouTube. Some people just are evil. Prankster, the prankster that was in the hall, they shout, fire, fire. The whole crowd was in panic. All rush, they stomp upon one another. Stampede, there was a stampede. 7 people died. When he was preaching there, And the 28 people were severely injured. It was said that Charles Spurgeon was never the same after that, at the age of 22. At the age of 38, he suffered a burning kidney inflammation. Then he has gout. He has rheumatism. He has neuritis. And some of this pain kept him from preaching for one whole year. Then beside the pain, there was politics and opposition in the church. Wow. Hey, welcome to the club. You mean Charles Spurgeon has politics and opposition in the church? Wow. It brings me a lot of comfort to know that. It was said that because of all these things, he will go to a retreat in France. He liked to go there as often as he can, just to get away from the crowd and go to this solitary place in France to just meditate and keep quiet. But that place was closed down one day. He cannot go there anymore. So he will take long walks. He will take long walks in London just to be away from everybody, just to take long walks. That's where he was. He smoked a cigar. He said, you may not understand. He said, but that was the way to keep me sane. Yeah, he had depression. Kept him sane. Charles Spurgeon, give me a lot of hope. Give me a lot of hope. Give us a lot of hope. Charles Spurgeon reminded me of what the Bible says about this towering figure, Elijah. And the Bible says Elijah was also in depression. And the Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are. Charles Spurgeon was a man subject to like passion as we are. The story of Charles Spurgeon, just tell me, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And I'm telling you right now, you are not alone in your suffering, in your pains. You are not alone. Are you facing a major fear, worry in your life? My Bible tells me that Elijah prayed earnestly. Charles Spurgeon prayed earnestly in those long walks. I love the word earnestly. It meant wrestled in prayer. Wrestled in prayer. I challenge you to wrestle in prayer. Those that are in great fear and distress, they were men of prayer. Another person that helped me to be able to identify myself much better is Jacob. Jacob is a better example because he was a sinner. But Jacob was a man of prayer in spite of all his sins. Same thing with you. Are you a man of prayer in spite of all your sins? And he knew God. He recognized his unworthiness. I hope you recognize your unworthiness. And say, like Jacob, I'm unworthy, God. You say to God right now, and you mean it from your heart, I'm unworthy, God, of all the kindness and faithfulness you, Yahweh, have shown to me. Prayer is never straightforward. Prayer is never straightforward. But I've really learned, that only intense, heart-wrenching prayer always produce miraculous deliverance. I always felt that those heart-wrenching prayer are those times I literally sense Yahweh near me. I sense that He will answer my prayer. I'm not lying. It was those heart-wrenching prayer. I can sense that God hear me. Can I ask you, is your prayer in such a way that you can sense that God has heard you, even though the prayer is not answered yet? We have to remind God of His promise to us. Those prayers are costly in terms of time and energy. At the end, you have to say, God, I will not give up. I will not let you go until you bless me. Throughout Jacob's life, he walked with a limp. It's equivalent to Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul asked God, deliver me from the thorn in the flesh. God said, nope. I will not deliver you from your thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh represents some of the predicament of our life. Maybe you are poor. The suffering, equivalent to Paul's thorn in the flesh. The pain in your life. The struggle, the pressure of life. You know, one of the things about life is that the pressure of life is never stopping. There will always be pain, struggle, and pressure in life. Perhaps you have a thorn in your flesh, and you seem to be walking with a limp. You have vulnerability. You have an apparent handicap in life. You know, Jackie Bullinger said this: I never trust anyone who doesn't walk with a limp. Whoa, powerful, right? I mean, Pastor Lily and I, 2012 was our limp. Was our limp. Do you have a limp in your life? Jackie Bullinger said, I never trust anyone who doesn't walk with a limp. Why? Because it is often through those difficulties, those disappointments, those struggles, that your heart are changed. You can only see a transformation in your life after you wrestle with God in prayer. Your attitude will change. Your life will change. It is only that, that you can have a wonderful experience and understanding of God. You can safely say, I have faith with God. I have favor with God. I saw God face to face and God did not kill me. I saw God face to face and He did not kill me. You know, Pastor Lily bought a kettle that has the lid. Because in the past, we have kettle but has no lid. And we forgot that we were burning water in the kettle. And the water kept boiling until it became dry and the whole kettle was burned. So we have to have a kettle with a lid. Okay? Wait, I haven't finished. See, when you have a kettle with a lid, the water will slowly boil and the steam will build. And it has no exit but except a small hole. But you will build and you will build and finally the pressure becomes so strong, the steam will cause the little hole to give out the whistling sound. The whistling sound. As the pressure of unanswered prayer builds up, eventually you will give out a whistling sound. And even Yahweh will hear that sound. And He wants to hear it. Let your wrestling be so stored up in the abundance of your heart that it brings forth a whistling sound that God cannot do anything else. Let the woman, give me bread, give me bread, give me bread, give me bread, give me bread. Okay, okay, stop it. I give it to you. You have everything you want. God cannot help but come to the rescue. Number four. Know that God loves you. This is the most important. You listen carefully. Know that God loves you. You must understand the truth. Proverbs 2:1 says, my son, if you will receive my word and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply the heart to understanding, God call you my son. God did not say, brothers and sisters. God call you my son. Implied in this is the love of God. He treated you as His son. There is a pleading care. There is a pleading concern. All wrapped up in this word, my son. You have to know that God loves you. You know, I'll be honest with you. I have a hard time, really hard time, even until today. I struggle many a time with the question of whether God loves me or not. In the abundance of my heart, I cannot say, or can you in the abundance of heart, can you truly say that God loves me? That is the problem with many of us. But Pastor Lily is very different from me. She always knew that God loves her. She always said, God loves me very much. And she said it not out of hypocrisy, out of pretense. She said it not out of uncertainty or hypocrisy. She knows that God loves her. She knows that God loves her. And today I want to tell you, this morning, knows that God loves you. Knows that God loves you. Knows that God loves you. This is a major problem among us today. And there's only a breakthrough when you understood this truth. Shane Taylor was considered one of the most dangerous men in the UK prison system. He was jailed for attempted murder. And they extended his jail 4 more years when he attacked a prison officer with a broken knife that started off, a broken glass that started off a riot. As a result of that, they put him in a segregation unit inside this maximum security prison. He was given his food through a hatch. The door of Shane Taylor was never opened unless 6 officer was there armed with riot shields. Later, he was transferred to Long Latin Maximum Security Prison. And then when he was transferred there, he was invited to the Christian Alpha course. The Christian Alpha course. During the course, he prayed, "Jesus Christ, I know you died on the cross for me. I hate who I am, who I have become. Please forgive me and come into my life." At the moment, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he ran running. He just ran running in the wind, telling everyone, "Jesus is real, Jesus is real, Jesus is real." His behavior changed so much. He went from living in this total segregation unit to getting a trusted job in the prison chaplaincy. He prayed for the prison officer, prayed for his enemies. And when he came out of prison, he got involved in a church. He met a young lady called Sam, also having a tough life with drugs and criminal activity. She also came to faith in Jesus. She, talking to Shane now, they are married with 5 children. It is very hard to imagine so many, this is the same person who has terrified so many people in the past. He experienced the wonders of God's love. He said, Jesus has shown me how to love and how to forgive. He has saved me. He has forgiven me for what I've done. He has turned my life around. Shane Taylor knew that he is love. He is love. Do you know why I come to Jesus? Do you know why I got born again? I tell you frankly, 1979, the first question I said, "God, why do you love me so much?" It was a real reason. He realized that he was loved by God. Know that God loves you. Don't care about what people say. Know that God loves you. Totally changed his life. In the abundance of Shane's heart, he has this weakness. He knew that God loves him. Okay, I want you to look at yourself. I want you to look at your sin. I want to look at your problem. I want to look at your trouble. I want you to know that God loves you. Know that God loves you. Seated in this place, I conclude, among us this morning, there are many who struggle, let's be honest, to fill their heart with the Word of God. You're struggling to do your devotion, much less pray in the Spirit and engage in spiritual warfare. As such, you feel your failure for all these things means that God does not love you. Am I correct? Because you don't do devotion. You don't have spiritual prayer. You don't wrestle in prayer. You have sinned in life. Therefore, God does not love you. And you can go around and look at people with this cliche. "Oh, Jesus loves me." But it's just a cliche. But deep down in your heart, you really doubt. And you doubt if God really, really loves you. And so you subtract the intensity and the genuinity of God's love for you. That means you cut off this truth, this lie, believing that God does not love you. What happened? You have this vacuum heart. A vacuum heart is not a heart of abundance. It's not a heart of abundance, but a heart of emptiness. How do we fill a heart with abundance again? Your effort, your spiritual resources have all failed. All has failed. If this is you today, I want to direct you. I want to direct you to your gaze from your failed life, your failed effort to what Jesus has done. I want you to focus on Jesus today. I want you to look at the cross today. Look at the cross. In your mind, look at the cross. I want you to visualize the cross and I want you to look at the cross. He came to this world with abundant love and wisdom for you. His heart was so full of love for you and the hurting world. He poured out his heart for you. He spoke out of the abundance of his heart in wisdom and compassion. But for them, instead of appreciating it, they crucify him and discredit him and call him Beelzebub. So they crucify him on the cross. All the disciples abandoned him. One denied him 3 times. We are among those people. Those disciples abandoned him, denied him not just 3 times, thousands of times in our life. Jesus' heart is broken. He bled his whole heart out for you with no reservation so that he can fill it up fully today. But you have to see how empty and bankrupt we are inside. So you got to see how empty and bankrupt you are so that you can focus on the cross. You look at the cross right now. There's no more hope for you except the cross. Except the cross. Driven to see the full love of God by the broken and emptying heart of Christ. Christ emptied his heart for you at the cross so that your heart today can be abundantly filled with love. More of anything you have done, just look at the cross and let Christ fill you with that abundant love. I think one of the first things you need to do is let Christ fill you that you know that God loves you today. Know that God loves you. Know that God loves you. He will set you free. To the degree you hunger for God's abundance, that degree you will be filled. To the degree you see how Christ has emptied all things, that degree you will be full of the love of God in you. Nothing can help you except the cross and focus. And everything was done. Everything was done. Don't look at the sin. Don't look at the problem. Don't look at the suffering. These are the things that hinders you. Look at the cross. And look at the feeling of Christ upon your soul. Amen. Musician, please come. Christ emptied his heart for you so that your heart can be abundantly filled with his love. That the riches of Christ's wisdom, insight, justice, equity, protection can be poured into your heart and set you free. We are living in the last day. Okay, in this world you should have tribulation. And I want to tell you something. You need to direct yourself to the cross. Fill your heart. Fill the abundance of your heart with the love of God. Know that God loves you. Shall we all stand up? Shall we all stand up? As we sing, let's just worship God. Just look at the cross. Look at it. And I want you to visualize. Without any plea, just as you are, come to the Lord Jesus. As we sing.
Lord,
about Jesus waiting, standing in front of you waiting. He's looking at you with love. He's looking at you with concern. He looked at you with pity. And he said that, I want to put grace on your neck. I'm going to adorn your neck. We only adorn our neck with ornament. God said, I will adorn your neck with the grace of God. He looked at you with pity and he said that, come. Come. Don't care what people say. Just come to me. And I will envelop you with my love. And I will touch you in a special way. Let's sing. Let's sing. Of you, what is ahead of you? Why do you worry? Look at me. I am with you. Know that I love you. Know that I love you. Know that I will be with you. I will walk with you. I'll remove the thorns and the thistles in your life. I'll remove the pain in your life. You will suffer for a little while, but you will get to understand me and know me and see how much I love you. And you will grow in your spiritual life and your spiritual faith, for I have you. You are the apple of my eye. I've written you in the palm of my hand. Nobody can remove you from me. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Have I not chosen you? Have I not chosen you? I brought you here to tell you that I love you. Know that I love you. If you know how much I love you, you will not be afraid of anything. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.